In the letters of St. Paul, which are the earliest of the New Testament writings, there is no suggestion that the birth of Jesus was accompanied by any miracle. And in the Gospel of Mark, which is probably the earliest of the four, the birth plays no part. So a great many biblical scholars would agree with the skeptics that the great nativity stories of Luke and Matthew are simply legendary accretions, the poetry of a later generation, and that were we to have been present, we would have seen a birth no more or less marvelous than any other birth. But if that is the case, what do we do with the legends of the wise men and the star, the shepherds and the angels, and the great hymn of joy that the angels sang? Do we dismiss them as fairy tales, the subject for pageants to sentimentalize over once a year come Christmas, the lovely dream that never came true? Only if we are fools do we do that. Although there are many in our age who have done it, and there are moments of darkness when each one of us is tempted to do it, a lovely dream, that is all. Who knows what the facts of Jesus' birth actually were? As for myself, writes Friedrich, the longer I live, the more inclined I am to believe in miracle. The more I suspect that if we had been there at the birth, we might well have seen and heard things that would be hard to reconcile with modern science. But of course, that is not the point, because the gospel writers are not really interested primarily in the facts of the birth, but in the significance, in the meaning for them of the birth. Just as people who love us are not really interested primarily in the facts of our births, but what it meant to them that we were born, and how for them the world was never the same again, how their whole lives were charged with new significance. Whether there were 10 million angels there or just the woman herself and her husband when the child was born, the whole course of history changed. That is a fact as hard and blunt as any fact. Art, music, literature, our culture itself, our political institutions, our whole understanding of ourselves and our world, it is impossible to conceive of how differently world history would have developed if that child had not been born. And in terms of faith, much more must be said, because for faith, the birth of the child into the darkness of the world made possible not just a new way of understanding life, but a new way of living life. This is what Matthew and Luke are trying to say in their stories about how he was born. And this is the truth that no language seems too miraculous to them to convey. That in this child, in the man he grew up to be, there is the power of God to bring light into our darkness, to make us whole, to give a new kind of life to anyone who turns toward him in faith. So what is left to us is the greatest question of them all. How do we know whether or not this truth is true? How do we find out for ourselves whether in this child born so long ago there really is the power to give a new kind of life in which both suffering and joy are immeasurably deepened? A new kind of life in which little by little, we begin to be able to love our friends, at moments even our enemies, maybe at last even ourselves, even God. Adeste fidelis. That is the only answer I know for people who want to find out whether or not this is true. Come, all ye faithful. All ye who would like to be faithful if only you could. All ye who walk in darkness and hunger for light. Have faith enough, hope enough, despair enough, foolishness enough, at least to draw near to see for yourselves. Adeste fidelis, come and behold him. Speak to him or be silent before him. In whatever way seems right to you and at whatever time, come to him with your empty hands. The great promise is that to come to him who was born at Bethlehem is to find coming to birth within ourselves something stronger and braver, kinder and holier than we ever knew before, or than we ever could have known without him.